Welcome to episode 8, the super show of Autograph Weekly.
I'm Lindsay McCormick, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly. Oh, yeah.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until the Philadelphia Eagles become a dream team. Now, guys, we want to remind you there will be no show next week due to people wanting to eat turkey or something. I don't know. But that is going to be converted into this week's episode to create a super show. That's right. We're buffing up the content. We're buffing up the contests. And we got a great interview lined up for you guys. So get pumped, because this is going to be the best autograph show you've ever heard. I think that's pumping it up enough. We also want to remind you that there will be no keyword in today's show. So the giveaway is totally unrelated to a keyword. You don't have to listen to a keyword, so don't freak out about that. Stacy, let's go to the return recap. What'd you get?
Actually, once again, this was a very solid week for me since the last show we did. Just my quick numbers and stats here real quick. Sent out 53 requests since the last show. Got 50 back. So it's just kind of, don't see that too often where you get almost as many as you send out back. So that's always a huge plus. Get to some of the names here real quick. First one I got back, Seth MacFarlane, signed 3 of 3. His famous just S&M signature, but still a real nice return from Seth. He was real happy with those. Up next, got John Landis. He signed 2 photos for me. And the one thing that was cool about this, one of these ended up being a dual signed photo. It was a photo of him and famous special effects guy Ray Harryhausen. And Ray must have been in town at the time John got the letter, so he had Ray sign it as well. So that was a real cool return. Also got in Stephanie Hayden from the TV show Sons of Guns. And that was just a cool return. I already lost one of those photos to my nephew. He's a huge fan of that show. So,
bastard.
Yeah, I hear ya. Next was Susan Ford Bales, who is actually the daughter of former President Gerald Ford. So she signed 3 photos for me. So it's always cool to get something back presidential related. So
I want to add something.
Go ahead.
Gerald Ford died today. He was eaten by a pack of wolves. Go on.
All right. Up next was Ron Glass. He signed 3 of 3 for me. Got him because he was in one of my favorite TV shows of all time. That was Firefly. Was not on TV long enough, but awesome, awesome show. If you guys haven't checked that out, check that out. Also got in Bob Saget, signed all 3 photos for me. So that was an awesome return. Cool to get something back from a comedic legend like Bob Saget. Another real solid return this week was from KISS drummer Eric Singer. He signed 2 of 2 for me. So that gives me 2 of the members of KISS that I've got autographs from now. So that's awesome.
Do I smell a Matt coming up, possibly?
Hopefully soon.
Cool.
Let's see what else we got here. We got Christine Taylor in this week. She signed 3 of 3 for me. Famous for being in the Brady Bunch movies. Also was in Dodgeball. Is currently married to Ben Stiller as well. So that was a very cool return. Also, a couple others here real quick to wrap this up. Got in Robert Duvall after a very long wait. That was almost 200 days. But he did sign all 3 photos. So an awesome return from an acting legend. And finally, to wrap it up, I got in Ed Asner as well. He signed 3 photos for me. Some awesome, awesome descriptions. Ed is a real class act. So that's what I got in this week. What did you get in this week, Zane?
Well, I want to say that Ed is a class act, man. I've wrote off to him several times, a couple times. And the last time I wrote off to him, he signed 2 photos for me. And one was him and Mary Tyler Moore from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And he said, "This is my girl, Ed Asner." I thought that was just awesome. And also, is it Christine Taylor? Or Chris?
Christine Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, Christine Taylor. She was in Hey Dude, one of the corniest TV shows ever to be put on Nickelodeon. It came on after Salute Your Shorts back in the 90s, and that's where I remember her from. My successes. I also got, I'm Bob Saget, bitch, you better ask someone. I got him back, but he sent me an 8x10, so obviously my letter was better. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, he did sign my photo I sent with the Olsen twins in it, so that counts for something.
He sent me an 8x10 for free, so I rock. So that was an awesome return. That 8x10 is going on my wall. Next, we have Toby Huss. And you're asking yourself, who the hell is Toby Huss? Well, if you were around in the 90s, Pete and Pete, The Adventures of Pete and Pete, he was Artie, the strongest man in the world! That's right. He also played Khan on King of the Hill. So he's kind of a big name, but a name that you wouldn't recognize. But a very cool dude. He signed 3 photos for me. Sadly, he signed them on the back. And there were some really awesome shots in there. I wish he would have signed on the front. But he only had a pen, so it wouldn't show up on the front, I guess. So I may send to him again with a Sharpie and ask that he signed the photos on the front. Next, I got Marty Brenneman. Took like 8 or 9 months. Took a while. But he's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and he included the Hall of Fame inscription on all the photos. Sent 2 photos, and he signed them all, and 1 index card. So that was really cool. Next, a lot of people were jealous that I got this in. They want to know, what's the address? But I got Robert Patrick, famous for, of course, X-Files. He took over David Duchovny's spot when Duchovny left. Famous for freaking Terminator 2. Anyways, I found the address myself. Sent to it. I was like, there's no way this is going to work. It worked. And I was super pumped when I got it back. So I've been getting emails like crazy. Hey, what's that Robert Patrick address? Hey, can you give me that Robert Patrick address? No! We've talked about private addresses here. It's private for a reason. Next, got Nope. Chuck Testa, the internet sensation, did a commercial with Rhett and Link from YouTube and Ustream. I think they had a Ustream show. But now they're on IFC. They have their own TV show on IFC. And they did a commercial for this guy named Chuck Testa, and he's a taxidermist. And the commercial is about how his taxidermy is so good that people can't recognize the fake animals from real ones. So, like, hey, why is that deer driving a car? And Chuck Testa pops up behind the deer and goes, nope, Chuck Testa. So I was like, man, that'd be awesome to have Chuck Testa's autograph. So I found an address. I put it on Star Tiger, guys, so if you want to write to Chuck Testa, you can. And got an awesome response back, signed 4 index cards, and signed 4 photos, sent 4 photos the next day in his own envelope. So very cool success from him. And last, got Mr. Henry Winkler, who is one of the best signers out there, but he does take a while. I sent 1 photo to him, that's all, because I usually only signed 1, even though he did sign 3 for one of my buddies this week. But he signed 1 for me, signed a Happy Days photo that also has Marion Ross in it, which that photo is going to be sent out to her this week. So that's all I got. Let's move on to Geek of Week, and we actually have Geek of Week successes! Yeah! What'd you get in, Stacey?
All right, I actually got 5 returns in for Geek Week this week. The first one came from James Ernest, who is a game designer, does some really cool and creative stuff with decks of cards and stuff, so check him out if you guys haven't done so. Also got in Kenneth Lagon, signed my Timmy the Monkey card, just like he did for Zane. And was he is the CEO
of Geek Corp. I think it's Geek Corp or something like that. Basically, Geek Corp, or I think that's the name of it, they own ThinkGeek, and he's the CEO of Geek Corp or whatever it is. So he's basically the CEO of ThinkGeek, and Timmy the Monkey is the mascot for ThinkGeek, so that's the reason I picked him to send to. So,
all right, and the last 3 were all part of Cinematic Titanic. Each one signed an individual card for me, and that would be Joel Hodson, Mary Jo Peel, and J. Elvis Weinstein. So it was cool to get those back. I still have 1 of those out to one of the members of Cinematic Titanic. So hopefully that will come back soon. And I believe that puts my number up to 16, I believe, because I can only count Cinematic Titanic as 1, I've been told. So
yes, that is a rule. Just because you sent multiple, the same photo to different people, doesn't mean you get to count those as multiples. I only sent 1 photo out to the entire cast and got it signed by the entire cast. Therefore, my photo counts as 1. Therefore, your 5 photos should count as 1. It's just makes sense, Stacey. What I got in this week, I also got in James Ernest. Since we send to the same people, we're going to get probably the same people back pretty much every week. So I got James Ernest back, but I also got one back Stacey doesn't have yet. Riff Tracks. The guys over at Riff Tracks, and that is Michael J. Nelson, Kevin Murphy, and Bill Corbett. They all signed my two photos and signed two index cards, which is awesome of them, because I also have index cards signed by Cinematic Titanic. Now you're like, so what? Well, those people pretty much formed Mystery Science Theater. Those eight people were the main characters, and I have two index cards each signed by the entire cast. So I'm going to mat those with a Mystery Science Theater photo on top, and those are going to make two amazing mats. So super pumped about that. Let's move on to the news. Stacey, what you got newsworthy for us?
Alrighty, my news story is a nice, interesting story here. It's about an autographed Beatles single that sold on eBay recently, actually on November 14th. This was a Beatles single, which on the A side was "Ask Me," or the A side was "Please Please Me," and the B side was "Ask Me Why." And what was cool about this is that actually on the A side of the single, George Harrison and John Lennon signed the single, and on the B side, it was signed by Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, and actually ended up selling for $12,720, which is a hefty amount, but as this article goes on, you've got to think about that there wasn't too many times that the Beatles, actually all four guys, sat down and signed an item together like this. So very cool news piece, and just wanted to pass that along. And what did you have for news this week, Zane?
Well, first, there are like a million Beatle fakes out there, guys. So if you think you're getting an authentic signed Beatles item, like all four of them, for like anything under several thousand dollars, if you're getting like an entire band Beatles signed album for $500, guess what? It's fake. Okay, none of that stuff goes for that cheap. If it is going for that cheap, it's fake. Just realize that. Ooh, got a little audio problem there. But it's fixed now. Okay, we're good. All right, my news stories. All right. First, Hall of Famer Mike King Kelly, famous baseball player, possibly the rarest autograph in baseball history. I don't know, though. Shoeless Joe is pretty rare. But one of his autographs is going up for sale. Maybe this week. It's soon. And it's suspected to fetch $200,000. $200,000. I think that beats your $12,000.
And I do believe he was teammates with Shoeless Joe Jackson. I believe they were all part of that Chicago White Sox team.
Were they? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What would a team sign photo from them run? Like $500K? But this is pretty interesting, guys, since it's such a huge amount and such a rare autograph. So if you have $200,000 laying around your house, you might want to bid on it. Just saying. And last, I want to do an update to the news story I did last week. Wilson Ramos has been found. He was kidnapped signing autographs outside his house. That's why I did the story. But he is okay. Everything's okay now. So it's a nice, peaceful end to a pretty scary story. All right, guys, we have got a treat for you today. Today, we have an interview with the one, the only, Chauncey Leopardi. Say hello, Chauncey.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
You may know him as Squints in the Sandlot and his famous line, forever. That's right. He's here with us today to talk a little bit about autographs. But before we get to that, I do want to ask him probably the questions he's heard a million times and he has the rehearsed answers for. So let's go through those really quickly. I'm sure he already has the answers on the tip of his tongue. So first, do you still keep in touch with the cast of The Sandlot?
A couple of the guys I do. Obviously, Facebook has helped a lot with that. We're not as close as I would like, but we still do talk here and there.
Awesome. Did you indeed grow up to look like Devin Sawa, as Casper predicted?
Oh, no. Unfortunately, I'm still not as good-looking as Devin is. But we actually hung out a little bit when we were younger, so he's a good dude.
That's cool, man. I bet that was cool because all the ladies were chasing him back then, too. He was there with, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, and Devin was, like, a little bit older and always kind of, like, the cool, like, like the cool kid. So he was even more like of the ladies' man than JTT would have been, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's move on. A lot of people didn't probably know that you were Nikki and Casper, by the way, but he was. What was it like working with Judd Apatow on one of his first productions? He did Heavyweights and a few things before that, but what was it like working with him on his first major TV show?
It was amazing. Judd's an awesome creative force, I would have to say. Super talented and fun to be on set with. It was actually a really cool interview. I went in with and read with him and Paul Feig. That was my first audition for it.
Really?
And we did 30 minutes of improv, basically. And I'd never heard from him again for 3 months, and then they just called and made an offer. It was fun, though.
That's amazing. And Freaks and Geeks is one of my favorite shows of all time, and it's just awesome to be talking to you, a major part of that. All right, let's move on. How many times was the kissing scene in The Sandlot rehearsed? I really want to know the answer to this question.
Not enough. You know, it's funny, David Mickey Evans told me right before we started the shot, and he said that he told me that if I slipped through the tongue, I was fired. That's a true story too. It was fun.
I would say, man, that's a classic moment in movie history, and that's something you'll always have.
Yeah, I like to think the same. It's pretty cool.
All right, and the last real quick question is, what was your favorite movie or TV show that you've worked on? I know you might give the cliche answer here. Oh, well, I loved all the stuff that I worked on. But I know, deep in your heart, there's one that was your favorite.
I have to go with Sandlot. I mean, it's just
a classic.
Such a classic film, and it's so well done. For its genre and what it's about, I mean, I guess you would call it's a masterpiece. David was really David McGavin's director and writer is really the force behind it, but yeah, I'd have to go with Sandlot.
By the way, James Earl Jones, who's also on The Sandlot, is one of the best signers in our community. Like, you send him anything, he'll sign it. So that's just really cool of him.
He was on set for 1 day.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. Because that's one of the films everybody knows him by, is The Sandlot.
Yeah, they had him. And it was funny because a driver took him to somewhere to get some things that he wanted from the mall or something. So it took an extra 2 hours out of the time that he was supposed to be on set. So they were all freaking out about it because I guess they, you know, he made about $250,000 to come in and film for 1 day. And they.
I wonder what that works out per hour wage.
I can't imagine personally.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. All right, now let's get down to the nitty gritty. And Stacy has the first real autograph question for you. So, Stacy, go ahead.
All right, Chauncey, when was the first time you was asked for an autograph?
I think it was right around the time that Sandlot was coming out, and I believe it was at a Mexican restaurant where I live in Los Angeles, and a lady asked me that runs the restaurant.
Cool.
It'd be about 92, I think.
93. Yeah, that makes sense. I know you did some work before it, so I guess that's weird that you didn't get an autograph request even from the stuff before you did the Sandlot. What TV shows were you on before? I know you were on a couple things.
I think I was the L.A. Law. I had a recurring part on. I played Abby's son, and I had a small role in Father of the Bride. And just, basic, day player stuff also.
All right, next question is, how many autograph requests do you get on a weekly basis?
It just depends. I don't know. I would say 10 on a heavy week. And, it could be anywhere 1, 2, 3. It just depends.
That's actually a pretty common answer that we've heard, 10, 15. Stacey, got the next one?
All righty. Do you have any autographed items? If so, what?
I have a picture hanging on my wall from an artist named Mr. Cartoon, and it's signed and autographed. I also have a few sports things. I think I have a stick signed from Wayne Gretzky. I did a commercial with him, a Domino's Pizza commercial when I was younger.
Cool.
I have a few things. I'm into it,
Yeah, man. I know for me, it sounds a little creepy when I actually say it, but when you revere somebody so much on TV and you're a big fan of theirs and really enjoy their work, to have them take a couple seconds out of their day to actually sign something for you, it means a lot to a collector. And I think that's why I collect. You know, it's just kind of saying, hey, you know, this person that I really enjoy watching took their time to sign this for me, and it just means a lot.
Very personal. I agree. I wish I had more scripts signed by some of their castmates and some projects. Would be cool.
That would be cool. By the way, we get a lot of responses from celebrities also saying they have a lot of signed paintings and stuff. It seems to be very popular. All right, next one is kind of a tough one. Has the increase in form letters, and again, if you don't know what a form letter is, guys, it's a letter that somebody has pre-written to kind of fit anybody's, like any celebrity's mold. Say, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. Will you sign this? Basically that drift. And it's not personable at all. Has the increase in those form letters affected your attitude toward fan mail? Do you get a lot of those?
Here and there. It doesn't affect my attitude towards it, per se. Obviously, it takes a little bit of the personable-ish missed out of it that we were talking about that was so great, but you know, I'm pretty easygoing. It doesn't really.
Do you sign better for people that actually make things personal than somebody that has a form letter?
Well, yeah, obviously, I'd like to personally write them a letter back. You know, also with whatever it is I'm signing, so it's more of an interaction between us. You know?
That's cool, because that's a big question in the community is, do you get a better response if you make it personal? Because I know a lot of celebrities are really busy, and I know you're probably really busy, and sometimes they just don't have time to read through the whole letter, and they just pick out, you know, what they need to sign. So if that's the case, usually a form letter will be treated the same as a personal letter. So a lot of people think it's okay to send those letters all the time, and I think it's not really okay. It kind of ruins the hobby. That's just my opinion. All right, Stacey, what's the next one?
All right, here's a fun and interesting question. What is the weirdest item you've ever signed?
Oh, gosh. I think I signed a tablecloth at a horror convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
That's really? A tablecloth?
I think it was a tablecloth.
Wow.
A piece of the tablecloth. Because we didn't have anything else in the restaurant at the hotel there.
Interesting. That is interesting. I actually saw a video where Robert Pattinson actually signed a big old pair of plastic tits. And as a product, no reason. Why would you want Robert Pattinson to sign a big old pair of plastic tits? I don't know.
I don't know, but I wish I had a cooler story like that one.
No, dude, tablecloth's pretty cool. Because a lot of the time when we ask that question, people are like, I don't know. I can't think of anything. So that you just the fact that you have an answer is awesome.
At least I came up with something.
Exactly. So my next question is, do you mind when people send multiple requests? So let's say I wrote to you and said, hey, man, I really want an autograph, big fan of yours, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe 2 months, 3 months later, I find something later around the house that I'd like signed by you. Do you care if I send that item, or does that make you mad when people send multiple items?
No, not at all. I mean, as an artist, I feel like it's our service to the people that support us to be there and willing to give our time for that kind of stuff, you know?
That's a very cool answer, man.
It honestly makes me happy to be able to make somebody smile, or even for them to, you know, feel acknowledged by it in any way. It's really what's...
Yeah, man. I mean... To tell you the truth, I mean, when we get something like that in, and especially when it's something that we would really want signed, and we get it in, it does. It makes us happy. You can watch our videos on YouTube. A lot of people that listen to us, they're in the autograph YouTube community, and they make videos of actually the stuff they get in, like the autographs they get in from people. And you can just see the happiness on their face when they get somebody in they really enjoy. And that's true, man. Whenever you sign stuff like that, it does make people happy. So that's a very cool answer.
If I can have a personal connection with myself, it's just great.
Yeah. All right, Stacey.
All right. The next one is, what are your thoughts on your autographs being sold on eBay or other auction sites?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of cheesy, but it doesn't. Once again, I don't like to worry about things like that.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's almost, I mean, it's almost flattering, but at the same time, it's kind of, you know, I don't know.
It's kind of skeezy. It's very,
That's,
Underhanded. Especially when you signed it for somebody else. You know, it's, yeah, I hear you. Sometimes, though, it's the, like, you sign through the mail, so it's not an issue with you. But people who don't sign, the only way to get their autograph is pretty much eBay. So us collectors have to resort to buying stuff on eBay from those people. But yeah. I can definitely see where it's kind of, you know, you would have the attitude, well, I'm not going to worry about it, but people that do it, kind of slight-handed, you know.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the context of what, you know, what it was, but yeah.
This is coming from a guy who has had an autograph sold on eBay of him, me. I had my autograph sold on eBay once. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, moving on. How do you feel about collectors looking for personal information to contact you? Now, I know your information is out there and people can contact you, and we're actually going to post your address on our website. If people want to write to you and send you fan mail, they can do that. But let's say you didn't have that information out there. How do you feel about people actually looking up, trying to find private information on you to contact you because they're a fan? Do you find that intrusive, or do you find that flattering?
I mean, it's obviously flattering. Intrusive, not necessarily. I feel like if you're worried about that, then you should take measures to, you know...
guard yourself.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily guard yourself, but to put some kind of fan club or something together so that, people can reach you where you feel comfortable, you know?
Right, right. That makes sense, definitely. All right, Stacy, last question.
Alrighty, Chauncey, what are you up to these days? And this is going to be kind of a two-part question here. And where can fans find you or possibly contact you?
I'm usually with my daughter, raising her. She's 9. She's in 4th grade. And I play cards, poker, predominantly hold'em tournaments. I find that very fun. So that pretty much occupies most of my time. Other than that, people can follow me on Twitter. My handle there is _squints, or @_squints with a Z, SQUINTZ. Or on my Facebook under my name, Chauncey Leopardi.
That reminds me, dude. I'm so gonna send you a playing card to get signed now. That would be cool.
Definitely. Hey, that'll be good. That'll be good for when I win a bracelet next year, you know?
Exactly, man. Exactly. All right, man. That's going to do it. Thanks for being on the show, Chauncey, man. You're a great sport, and you're a hell of an actor, man. We wish you the best of luck, and, of course, you're welcome back anytime, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Chauncey.
And, guys, stay tuned for some Sandlot swag in later shows. Moving on to the Q&A, I know we have a jam-packed Q&A mailbox today, and Stacy has all those questions lined up for us. So go ahead, Stacy, roll down the list.
Alrighty, the first one is coming from Steve Finch, who is asking us, what is our biggest success we have gotten back TTM? And which... I'm going to break this into a couple of categories. I'm going to start with sports-wise. A couple of my biggest ones, I got Drew Brees a couple years ago to sign the Super Bowl issue of Sports Illustrated, so that was a pretty awesome return. I got Steven Strasburg to sign a baseball when he was the next huge thing before his injury back when he was in Double A, so that was a very cool return to get. Couple other sports-related, another Sports Illustrated I got, another Super Bowl cover with the Santonio Holmes catch against the Cardinals. That was a pretty cool return to give back. He actually added a Super Bowl MVP inscription with that, so that was pretty cool. Celebrity wise, I'm gonna go, some of you guys are gonna laugh at this one, but back when NSYNC was just taken off, they were on the cover of Rolling Stone, actually sent the magazine to a venue site and actually came back, all 5 members signed it, so that was or 5 or 4 members, I can't remember how many of them there were. But they actually did all sign it, so that was a pretty cool return. Don't actually have that anymore. Ended up selling that a while, many years ago. But those are just a couple I can think off the top of my head. What about you, Zane?
Well, don't let Stacy fool you. He's a huge NSYNC fan. He has a lot of pink NSYNC shirts, and he likes to wear them with his leather pants. So I'm just saying he's passing this off like it's no big deal. Huge NSYNC fan. On the other hand, got I don't know. It's hard to answer this question because there is no best or biggest TTM. Because what category are you talking about? So I separated it into three categories. The rarest TTM I ever got, the one that people say, what? You really got him back? Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan. Got him back a couple years ago, and I was just I didn't even remember writing the letter. And I guess it was an email success, but right there in my mailbox, Hamid Karzai, signed photo. I'm like, I'll go with it, whatever, happy. Yeah, hell yeah. Next, the biggest name, the one that people probably recognize, you can ask anybody and be, oh yeah, yeah, him. George W. Bush, obviously, president of the mother frickin' United States. Not a fan of his, but did get a couple book plates signed by him. So that was awesome. Presidential returns are always amazing. So, and the biggest personal success, like the person I'm the biggest fan of, the person I think has really affected the world the most, would have to be Steve Wozniak. I mean, the inventor of the personal computer. It's a big thing. It's pretty much revolutionized the way we live. And personally, that's the most influential person I've ever got. And so those are my answers. Let's roll on to the next question.
The next question is coming from Michael Rhodes, asking us, do you send thank you cards or letters to thank people who send awesome returns? And I will answer, I have done that not as often as I probably should. Usually it's to people that I correspond with quite a bit. If they've signed stuff for me multiple times, I usually take the time to at least send a letter back thanking them for their time and everything. So that's my answer. What do you got, Zane?
I try to also, but if I can, I save on stamps. I know I'm a greedy asshole. If I have them on Facebook, which I have a couple people on Facebook that I've sent to TTM, and I'll send them a Facebook message and say, hey, thanks for signing my stuff. Like recently, Phil Plate, who is known as the Bad Astronomer, I sent to him for the project Geek a Week, and after I got my stuff back from him, he sent me some extras. I sent him a thank you message on Facebook. So, yeah, those returns you get back that are just like, oh my gosh, like the one Michael got back, Autograph Network got back with Christine Taylor. Like, that's crazy awesome. That deserves a letter back saying thank you so much. And it's cool that, you know, some celebrities just really take the time to read your letter and understand it and respond in a very appropriate way. If not appropriate, but, you know, an overwhelming way, that you just have to write a thank you letter. It's like, it's inappropriate not to write a thank you letter to stuff like that. For those of you who don't know, Christine Taylor sent Mike at the Autograph Network a blue leaf from Ben Stiller's musical production. I don't remember what the actual play was, but it was from when he was on, was it Broadway?
Yeah, I don't remember what the play was either.
Yeah, but he was in a play, and it was a blue leaf from that play, and she sent that. She's like, I think this will go well in your collection. I'm like, holy crap, man, that's awesome. So stuff like that, I mean, you have to send a thank you letter if you have any decency to you at all. So, yeah, that's my
answer. And I'll follow that up real quick before we move on, that I'll, like Zane said with Facebook, I'll do that all the time on Twitter. If it's somebody that I follow on Twitter, if they send me something, I always send a quick note to them. And it's pretty cool. Sometimes, once in a while, you get a response back. I've gotten responses back from a few people. Good old JR, Jim Ross, actually responded once to me after he signed some photos for me. So that was, it's always cool, a little extra there. So we will move on to the next question. This one is coming from Kelvin Lee, and he is asking, do you guys send to venues? And what are your thoughts on sending to via venue, and your thoughts on the success rates?
First, explain what via venue is before, because a lot of people probably won't know.
They say this is sending to a musician, a comedian, somebody doing a play, basically at where they're performing, at a concert venue, a theater on Broadway, or anything like that. And I've done this, I'm not going to say a lot, but I've done it several times, and it's a risk. I mean, I'll flat out say it's a risk. I mean, the success rate on this isn't the greatest. I'm going to say probably in my case is maybe 10 to 20% success rate as far as venue. I mean, I just do it as taking a chance, because you just don't know. And sometimes you get surprised, and a lot of times you'll never see the stuff again. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. What about you, Zane?
Yeah, I mean, some people just don't sign TTM, and that's the only way to get them. Because they're so heavily surrounded by agencies and stuff that control their mail, and whatever you send to any address you find is not going to work. So if they're at the Tonight Show, it's worth the shot sending to them, like Jennifer Lopez or something like that. The bigger names is what you're going to want to send to via venue. Personally, I don't send via venue. I don't think I've maybe sent one or two, and they never came back. And that was a long time ago. That was probably 5 or 6 years ago. So I don't even mess with it anymore. But if, because I'm not really into more. The big, huge names, yes, they're awesome to get back, but the risk for me, like getting a 10%, rate back, it's not worth the risk of sending to them. Maybe index cards, maybe, but then if you send a little envelope, it's probably just going to get thrown away, especially if it doesn't have anything valuable in it. So, yeah, that's just my personal opinion. It's, I don't know. It's for some people. Some people love Via Venue. Some people only do Via Venue to get the huge stars. Then again, most of those people sell all the big stars on eBay once they get them Via Venue. So it's a certain breed of people that try that. And I'm not saying if you do Via Venue, you're going to automatically sell them on eBay. But, yeah, it's an interesting side note to the TTM community that some people don't even know about. So if you're interested to learn more about that, I would go to, like, if you're a member of Star Tiger, go into the forum. There's a lot of stuff about Via Venue, a lot of tips and stuff. And you might just look around on the internet and Google. I'm sure there's some articles on it. So it's basically sending to movie sets and sending to, like, late night shows if you know the person's going to be on. That's what that is. All right, next question.
Alrighty, this one is coming from AJ Kaiser. He is asking, what type of envelopes do we use, and where do we buy them from? That's the first question. He has a second question. We'll get to the second question here in a second here. The first question, basically, envelopes are just the standard business. I don't know. There's a specific name or specific, I don't know, count they call those. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but it's just the, not the small size business and envelopes, but the next size. What do they fit like? They fit by what? 8x8?
No, it's 11x8.5. Yeah. It's the regular standard business sheet of paper. And they're the envelopes that fit those pieces of paper folded 3 times. If that makes any sense to you whatsoever, that's what kind of envelopes we use, because those are the envelopes that fit the 4x6s, and me and Stacy do a lot of 4x6 sending. So those are the best to use. The little envelopes, the little tiny ones, they're cheaper because you get like 80 in a pack, but they're not big enough to send what we want to send. So, and we can still use 45 soon cent postage on those envelopes. So that's that. And where we get them, we entered that last podcast, so we don't have to cover that.
And then his second question was our longest TTM success. My answer to this, I don't know the specific person that would be. I know I've had several waits that have been 2 years. I've maybe had one or two that's been 3 years or longer, but I honestly would not know who that was off the top of my head. Most of them, I think, were sports related. But what about you, Zane?
I got one that trumps yours almost by double. I got Dale Murphy back after 5 years. Yes, 5 years. He's notorious for taking that long to respond. I don't know if it's a joke on his part, like if he just like, I'm gonna get these requests in, I'm gonna put them in a box, mark the year on them, I'm gonna get them out in 5 years and sign them, because that's about how long he takes for everybody, and it's crazy long, but it was worth it because he actually signed a Top Fan Favorites card for my Top Fan Favorites PC. But yeah, 5 freaking years, man, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, sure enough.
Alrighty, moving on to the next question. This is coming from Garrett, and his question was, he's asking us, he plans on mailing a lot of cards to hockey players in Canada. And I obviously know that the postage rate will happen, the increase will happen after the first of the year. Should I be safe and just mail right now, or mail with more postage in case a signer takes more than, he said 8 weeks here, and this is kind of probably, I'm guessing that's his estimate as far as when he thinks the postage rate may happen.
Right.
To answer that, Basically, what I would say, I would, if you've seen success rates on websites where you're pretty sure it's going to be back fairly quickly, you're probably safe. But if you have any question at all, I would probably just go ahead and myself would add the extra postage if you're sending, especially overseas. Here in the U.S., you can just make sure you buy forever stamps and you're going to be safe as long as you put those on there. I mean, the postage rate's going to increase, but the forever stamps will still be good. Do you got anything you want to add to that, Zane?
Yeah, I talked to my local postman. She said that probably January is when it's going to be hiked. And I think international is going to $1.04 for a letter, an international letter, which includes Canada. I think, doesn't it? Or Canada may be cheaper.
I think Canada is cheaper.
Yeah, Canada may be a little bit cheaper. But I would just send, whatever you send to Canada, send a buck with them, an American buck. That's what I always do wherever I go overseas. I always send a buck. If it's a letter, if it's anything more than that, like an 8x10 or something like that, you're going to need to send more money, obviously. But a buck pretty much covers it. I think it's 94 cents for an international stamp. That's going up to 104, but I mean, 5 cents, I don't think they're going to squabble over 5 cents personally. And again, like you said, for the forever stamp, just always buy forever stamps when you're doing TTMs, because you never know when that postage, you know, it's going to go up soon. And if you have a 44 cent stamp on something and it's not forever, the post office is going to want that one penny, because they're, that's just the way they are, man. They're not going to chase you down for it, but they're going to write a little nasty note on your letter. But so always use forever stamps. It's just, it's legal that way, and it's just a lot easier on everybody. Next question.
All right, moving on to the next. It's coming from David Soffin. He is asking us our thoughts on the Tim Allen TTM and the successes. And I think the reason for this question is on Star Tiger, Tim Allen was known for using Studio Fan Mail, but he also has a production company address on there as well, which I believe is, I'm assuming it's his production company. And I've sent to the production company a couple of times. I've gotten DVD covers and photos signed. And all I can say on that, I mean, they come back. It's not a preprint or a stamp or anything like that. It's actually signed. Whether or not it's from him or not, I mean, I don't know. But it's not none of the other stuff. So anything you want to add to that?
Well, the thing with Tim Allen is his signature is so simple and easy to do. It's basically three jagged lines up and down, and that's his signature. So, with that being said, it's impossible for us to know if it's actually signed. I mean, it's an ongoing debate with him. Since it's so simple, it could be him, but it could honestly easily not be him. It could be a secretary who knows how to do three squiggly lines. So there's no way, unless we actually see him sign TTMs or you get some certificate from him signed saying, yes, all the things I signed through the mail are authentic, which is not going to happen, then we're not going to know. So there's no way for me or you or, in my opinion, anybody, even PSA, to really know with a signature like that that's just squiggles. That's my opinion. And guys, don't even get me started on PSA. You know what? That should be our discussion next week. I think we'll do PSA next week. Don't hold me
Sounds
to that,
good.
But I think that'll be a good discussion. But anyways, go on with the next question.
All right, I got another question from Steve Finch. This was a question asking us, what do you think of wrestlers charging for autographs? And he put on here, due to people selling them. And I think this is a question that's coming up. It's something fairly recent, too. There's been a few successes coming back in the YouTube community from wrestlers not signing anymore and charging a fee. My opinion on this is, I mean, it's simple. I mean, they don't have to sign for free to begin with. If they need to sign, if they need to charge, they need to charge. Especially in the world of wrestling, these guys have busted their bodies for I don't know how many years. There's no insurance in wrestling. There's no union in wrestling. So I mean, especially with wrestlers, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, there wouldn't be probably a lot of them that I would personally pay for, but I have no issue with them. They got to make a living now. They some of them don't have a choice. They make a decent amount of their income selling their autographs now through the mail, conventions, and that kind of thing. So is there anything you wanted to add to that, Zane?
Yeah, I mean, what we always say, we get questions like this, it seems like, almost every week. It's the person's right to sign. I mean, they have the right to turn you down. They have the right to take a shit on your letter and send it back to you. I mean, because you're sending a letter to them, just doesn't mean that they have the obligation to sign. Me and Stacey say this every single time. It's not a requirement for them to be like, oh, well, somebody sent me a letter. That means I absolutely have to sign. No, if they're not in the mood to sign, they don't have to sign. They don't have to give you a reason. If they don't want to sign, they can just send your cards back unsigned just because they're in a certain mood. I know it's frustrating, but that's just the way the hobby is. If you can't deal with rejection, you're in the wrong hobby.
Yeah, just to follow that up, I mean, there's a couple of wrestlers out there that just recently started charging. I mean, they've signed for, I mean, I know one of them signed for free for I don't know how many years. So, I mean, I've gotten them a couple of times. I mean, that going back 5 or 6 years ago when I got them, he signed for free. Sometimes they just change their mind and they get enough requests and they want to make some money off of it. So.
All right,
guys. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
No. Next question.
All right, we'll move on to the last question for this week, and this is directed at my co-host because he is the king of this subject, and this is coming from John McCall, and he is simply asking, how do you make book plates?
It's easy. Awesomeness. No, I actually have a video talking about this showing how I do it, and it's not really hard. All you need is... You could even use scissors, but I have a paper slicer, just a lot easier, more efficient, and it's prettier because the edges are clean. I go out and to my local Walmart and buy 4-inch by 2-inch address labels for letters and envelopes. They're the stickers that you stick on stuff, and they're basically built for computers, so you print out like address labels and you can just stick it on stuff. Well, I don't use it for that, obviously. I get the address labels. They cost... like $3 to $5 for 10 sheets, and I take them to my paper slicer and I cut them up in individual labels. They're stickers. They're about the right size for a book plate. So that's what I use as book plates. I slice them up and they're perfect, and I send them out as book plates. They're no longer mailing address labels. They are book plates, which go into books, which create book plate bastards. If you don't know what a book plate bastard is, you need to watch my videos. A book plate bastard is basically when you take a book plate and stick it inside of a book. But you can't call that a signed book, because a lot of people get angry if you say something signed and it's a sticker on something and it wasn't actually held by the person that signed it. They're like, well, that's not a signed book. So I had to come up with a different term for the books that had book plates in them. So I was like, well, the ones with book plates are kind of the bastards of the signed book community. So I'm going to call them book plate bastards. And it's stuck. It's like a community term now. Whenever somebody gets a book plate in and sticks it in a book, in their videos, they always call it a book plate bastard. So I've coined a term successfully. And yeah, just go to Walmart, buy those labels, cut them up, and you're ready to go, bro. That's what I do. I don't go to any special website and order them. They're expensive if you try to get them individually, and like rolls of them and stuff. I wouldn't go that route. I just go get the labels. But yep. Next question.
That was the end of the questions.
Oh, whoops,
we're
going to
move on.
Moving on.
To the discussion, and I'll have Zane start this off.
Yeah, interesting discussion today. We were trying to figure out what to talk about, and Stacey brought this up. Is it moral to sell a celebrity's autograph after their death? So let's say, I did this with Fred Rogers. He passed away. I had 2 or 3 autographs of him. I sold one on eBay like the day after he died, because I knew once he died, people are going to like search on eBay Fred Rogers autograph. And I knew I could make a decent amount of money off of it. So is that moral to do right after their death? Go ahead, Stacey.
Okay, now this is probably the first time you're going to hear something relatively controversial out of me. I kind of hate this crap. I don't have an issue as far if it's one item and somebody is selling one item, I kind of excuse that and that doesn't bother me as bad. But when I go on eBay after this, I'll give an example, after Bobby Thompson passed away, you go on eBay and there are people on there selling 20 of his autographs. The same person has 20 of them up there for sale, and it's just basically trying to make a profit off somebody dying. Yeah. It's like, like I said, I don't have a huge issue, like what Zane said, I don't have a huge issue with that. He sold one because he knew he was going to make something. He was going to make a little bit off of it, so he sold one. But I can't stand it when I go on there and especially the day of or within that first week when people are on there selling multiple and multiple items. First of all, whether or not if they're even legit to begin with.
Well, what people are doing they're gambling on somebody's life, basically. What the whole idea behind it is they see somebody's really old and they're like, well, this person can't last very longer. Or they see they're sick, like something's wrong with them. They're like, they go into attack mode. They're like, all right, I got to get as many autographs from this guy as possible. And a guy like Bobby Thompson, guys like Bobby Doerr, who signed everything, like you could send them freaking, I don't know, a stick and they would sign it. These people send multiple stuff. They'll send like 5 or 6 things to them and then send multiple things under different names. And then they'll have all these items and then they're just like, come on, baby. Just waiting for them to pass away. And like Stacy said, once they pass away, they cash in. Obviously that's shady, that's retarded and stupid and just a total black eye on the community. Not many people do that, especially true collectors. People that do that are people that want instant gratification on money. Basically people who are looking to make money quick. And I would, like I said, aren't true collectors like me or you or a lot of our listeners. Now watch all of our listeners go out there and use this scheme. Don't do that, guys. It's a bad thing. You'll get a black eye on the community. People look at you like an idiot. It's a weird subject. I've done it with one. That's the most I've ever sold of somebody after they pass away, and I only do it if I have another copy of their autograph of theirs. I won't do it if it's the only autograph that I own of them. So that's that. That's my opinion. Stacy is a little more hardcore against this than I am, but it bugs me. I'm not outraged by it, but I do think it's very skeezy.
Yeah, like I said, I'll agree with Zane. It's usually not the true collectors that are doing this. It's people just simply out to make money, or if they look and they see they've got 6, 7, 8 things signed by this person, they're just putting them on there to try to make money for themselves. My thing is, if you have that many, you're going to sell them, and put the money into a fund that the family set up, if that's what you want to do.
I want to add this. Oh, we'll go a little feedback there. I want to add this. If it's a dealer already, if it's like a person that actually deals in signed stuff and like pays fees to get stuff signed, like the company that our friend David works for, if they had a bunch of backstock of Bobby Thompson after he died, to me that would make sense for them to liquidate it at that point to maximize profit. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I'd be interested to see if you, Stacy, would have a problem with that for them liquidating all of them after he died, just due to the business point of them making more money and them being a legit business and not some skeezball just trying to profit off of a death.
To me, that's different. I mean, that's a business. That's how they make their money. I'm gonna think that most of the time if something like that happens, like a company like that has that, they're not going to be out trying to sell those to get top dollar on them. I don't think they're probably just out trying to get rid of them to get them out of inventory, right, and to get them into some collector's hands. So I'm sure they're not jacking the price up 10 times more than what it's worth and trying to make a complete money haul off of it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was just interested because there's a fine line there between store and collector. that just wants to make money. I mean, anymore with the internet, pretty much anybody can be a seller. And that line is getting blurred every day between major retail outlet of autographs and Joe Schmo, who sells autographs for a living. So yeah, I was just interested in what your take on that was. So yeah, that was the discussion for today, guys. Pretty interesting topic. What do you guys think? Go ahead and comment on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear back from you. If your comment is good enough, we'll bring it up in next week's show, which is won't be next week. It'll be the week after, because remember, next week is Turkey Day. And this is the Super Show, the amazing Super Show. All right, let's move on. Next, we have to discuss the giveaway. That's right. The giveaway we had last week was for a Dennis Eckersley certified signed card. Dennis Eckersley, of course, the Hall of Fame is a closer, right? Yeah, 300 saves. So who won that? I don't know. Maybe Alex Joritz. Congratulations, Alex. We posted a video up on youtube.com/autographweekly showing how we picked the winner. And if you guys want to know who the winner is before the podcast is actually released, go check us out on youtube.com/autographweekly, and you'll get that video and know who the winner is before we actually release the podcast, which is kind of cool, you got to admit. But, guys, you want to know about what we're giving away this week. The amazing, amazing giveaway this week. And I'm telling you, dude, I am jealous, man. I wish I had some of these autographs that were given away. I'm putting in one, Stacy's putting in one, and we have a sponsored spot, a sponsored giveaway. So let's go ahead and tell them about it. Go ahead, Stacy.
Alrighty, I will go through the prizes and what they are. Then I will have Zane go over the details of the how we're doing the giveaway this week. Up first, what Zane is throwing in for the contest is one of his Cal Ripken, Bill Ripken dual signed books.
Hall of Fame baseball player, of course.
Awesome, awesome. What I am going to throw in is a Duke Snider TTM signed trading card. I believe it's out of 1983 Donruss product Heroes or Heroes of Baseball or something similar to that.
Of course.
And we'll have scans of these all up on the website as well.
Another Hall of Fame baseball player, possibly one of the greatest players ever to play the game.
And deceased.
And the last, just an amazing throw-in from this is going to be a sponsored giveaway from BossHog797. Go subscribe to him on YouTube.com/BossHog797. He is the man. He makes great TTM videos. And for this week's podcast, he threw in a 1986 Donruss Diamond Kings George Brett autographed card. That's right, George freaking Brett, another baseball Hall of Famer. That's three baseball Hall of Famers we're giving away this week. We're going to pick three winners, okay, guys? So you could win one of those easily. So how are you going to win this? That's the ultimate question. Well, we want to know what your greatest TTM of all time was. TTM is through the mail, if you didn't know. Who have you sent an autograph request off to and got that's the best? In your opinion, what's the best mean? I don't know. Interpret it as you will, but all you need to do is go to facebook.com/autographweekly and put in text whatever your best TTM of all time was, or you can leave text and a photo, and that'll be two spots. So text is one spot, photo is two spots, or you can make a video showing off your best TTM of all time and give us a plug. Say, hey, go check out these guys at Autograph Weekly. If you do that and post the video on our Facebook wall, you will get five spots. Excuse me. So, one spot for text, two spots for a photo, and five spots for a video showing off your favorite TTM. Not favorite, best TTM, blah. And it all has to be on our Facebook wall, guys. If it's not posted on our Facebook wall, it's not going to count. So remember to post all those on our Facebook wall. And we're going to pick a winner through random.org the week after next week. Our next show, we'll have the winner picked. And we'll give away those three amazing Hall of Fame prizes. Three baseball Hall of Famers in one giveaway, dude. It's hard
Plus,
to beat.
The best part of that, it's got to be Billy Ripken, man.
Billy Ripken, man.
You can't think about Billy Ripken and not think of... I mean, that's... That's legendary baseball card talk, man.
He's such an F face, man.
I know.
Some of you guys know what I'm talking about right now. Some of you guys don't. All right. So, guys, go enter that epic giveaway. This is the biggest giveaway we've ever done on the show, and you can win some amazing stuff. All right. Move on to TTM of the week. And, Stacy, who won TTM of the week this week?
I'm going to make you backtrack. I think you forgot another giveaway that we're going to do.
Oh, crap. I did. No. Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I almost forgot. We have a very interesting giveaway that we're going to be holding for probably around a month. It's not set in stone that it's going to be for a month, but we may take a little bit longer. But it's going to be the iTunes cover art giveaway. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? This is a giveaway where we want you guys to design cover art for our iTunes logo. Now, we have an awesome logo. It's a signed AW, but it's not too original. We want a picture of me and Stacy, I don't know, talking into a microphone, something that would fit our show. We want you guys to design it. So we're looking for entries, guys. We want you to design these pictures, send them in to us, and we're going to pick a winner. The best one's going to win. What do they win, Stacy?
A Howie Long 8x10 autographed photo. So it's just an awesome, awesome prize. I know we got some pretty talented people out there, so I'm interested to see what you guys can do. And like Zane said, get those to us. Either post them on Facebook or email them to us at autographweekly@gmail.com. Either way for that will be fine. Whatever works out the best for you. So really look forward to seeing what you guys can come up with for this.
And I'm probably going to end up throwing in something to give away, too, in that same contest. So the winner will win the Howie Long and something from me. I just haven't decided what it is yet. And that contest is going to run for a while, probably a month, maybe more than a month. Depends how many entries we get. We're going to be urging it every episode, reminding you guys to get your entries in, because we really want some great cover art for our for our iTunes logo. So get those in ASAP, so you don't forget, and win some awesome stuff, guys. I'm telling you, so many awesome giveaways in this podcast. All right, well, now do I have permission to move on to TTM of the week, Stacy?
I suppose. I'm not gonna like this segment
all right,
very much.
All right. Who won TTM of the week? Is it somebody awesome?
Yeah. I'll give you that. In the battle of the ding, the Cougar won. And that would be Heather Locklear, won from Bloodspawn, ended up with 16 votes, so it took 76% to Tennessee Valley's Michelle Williams, got 5 votes for 22%. So like I said, the Cougar won, and Zane won.
And I won, because she was my pick, so... That's right.
I think you're going to be in trouble for this coming one, though.
I'm battling... Well, okay. Well, let's get to this next one. For this week, guys, I have chosen Top Shelf TTM. He wrote to Mr. Roger Clemens via his foundation. He did not sign any of his stuff, but the foundation said, oh, don't worry, we got something for you. They sent him a signed official 8x10 photo. Signed, I think it was silver Sharpie or white Sharpie or something like that. It was a beautiful photo. It was high quality too, man. So that's just an amazing return, man. I can't believe how are you going to beat that? Who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Sure Deal.
Who do you
Nothing
got?
Other than that Zane Savage character getting in Robert Patrick this week, signing all three. It was 3 photos, correct?
Yeah, it was 3 photos.
Yeah, that's my nomination just because of the fact I don't think. I honestly don't think I've ever seen anybody get a Robert Patrick autograph through the mail, so...
Well, I'm awesome. What can I say? I'm battling myself this week. I'm going to win no matter what.
But I'm going to get bragging rights.
You're going to get bragging rights, but if you win... I don't know. It's weird. I'm battling myself in the TTM of the week. Whatever.
I'll take it to the Zaniacs. I can't lose.
That's true. That's true. They'll probably vote for me, but they won't know they're voting for me because they're just going to vote... I don't know. We'll see. So it'll be an interesting battle this week. You can go vote on our website. It's on the right-hand side. Go to autographweekly.com. Cast your vote. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Zane Savage, or is it going to be Zane Savage? We'll see. We also want to remind you guys we have TTMer of the Month coming up on the next episode. We would normally remind you on next week's episode, which would be Thursday, but it's Thanksgiving. We're not doing that episode. So we need to remind you this week to make your videos showing off your best TTMs that you got this month. Promote Autograph Weekly. Make those on YouTube, guys. Send them to us on our Facebook wall or send them to us on autographweekly@gmail.com. Once you submit those, you are entered for TTMer of the Month. And remember, guys, if you're chosen for TTMer of the Month, you will get either a $20 eBay gift certificate, a 6-month subscription to Star Tiger, $20 in Wink Flash photos, or $20 in stamps. So some pretty awesome prizes up for grabs. And you pick one of those. And all you gotta do is make a video, guys, showing off your best TTMs of the month. So we'll pick a winner based on whoever has the best returns. So go do that. Post that on our wall. Post it on Facebook. And don't forget to give us a shout-out. Say, hey, guys, I'm making this video for Autograph Weekly. Go check them out, autographweekly.com. I think we've done enough promoting. I think the last, 30 minutes of this has been promoting. So, yeah. That's all we got for today, guys. Awesome show. Just packed full of awesomeness. Had an interview with... Thank you so much, Chauncey, for doing the interview, man. You were amazing. Got some amazing giveaways. I think we got some good insight into the hobby. Got into some of the darker areas of the hobby. And that's what the show's about, guys. All right, guys. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer. Everybody have a safe and happy holiday.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.